I'll sit for a second. I don't know that I can sit for long. I'm going to get out some scriptures. Brought your swords? Okay. Just in case. Yeah. During the part of worship, I was like so charged because of what we were doing. And I think sometimes because we don't see or we don't understand, we miss the point. But did you feel a difference from the time you walked in to during that time? Was there a complete shift in you? Okay, do you know what we were doing during that time? Okay, we were changing the atmosphere, but what we were doing, we were beating the snot out of those familiar spirits that have been tormenting us all stinking week. Okay? And we're going to do it again afterwards. Okay? Because I didn't get my fill. I didn't. I was going, yes, yes. And we kind of went into that lull thing, and I thought, oh no, I am not done. I am not done. This thing has been tormenting me for 52 stinking years. I am out for vengeance. And so we're going to go back just because we get to. Okay? Now, Psalm 149, start in about verse 5. And this is a precursor to what we're even going to talk about tonight, because we're going to see your little familiar spirits have kind of, they got tired of getting pelted on, so they've kind of subsided. Okay, but you know what we're going to do? We're going to expose them and call them back out, because we're going to beat up on them again later. Okay, now I'm serious about this. This is the real stuff here. This is real warfare. Aren't you tired of just getting slapped around? I'm tired. I'm done. I'm over it, you know. All for the last 2 weeks of talking about spirit, this stuff, I have, every familiar spirit I ever thought I had showed back up. In full living color, 3D, activated in my face. The entire time. Every time I woke up, they're yapping at me, they're harassing me, and I've gotten where I've gone, enough is enough. Because see, we don't really think we can do this. Because every time one shows its face around you and starts to harass you in your emotions and in your thought life, we get to do something to them. We get to wail on them, and we get to harass and torment them with the rod of God. Now, you want a scripture? Okay, you want one? Just so that we can say we got one? Okay, Psalm 149, start in verse 5. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Okay, in glory. Not here on the earth, in glory. That's our one problem, is we don't get in glory. We stay connected to the earth realm too much, and we don't get in glory. So when we're in glory, it says, let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and the two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains, their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. This is the honor of all saints. That's the way the Lord honors us, is He lets us do this to the enemy. It's our privilege and our honor to do it. It's not presumptuous. It's not arrogant. It's not prideful. It is the honor of the Lord He gives us this honor to do this on His behalf. And so we're going to continue to learn to do this. Okay, now this past week, how many of you were harassed by your familiar spirit? Okay, what did you do? Did you roar at it like a lion? Remember you got your lion face last week? Did you roar at it? Did you take vengeance on it? Or did you go, I got to, woe is me. Because as the sons of God and as we're maturing, okay, the indictment that God has against us is Psalm 82. Why do you continue to judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Why aren't you doing your job on the earth is what the Lord asks us. Read Psalm 82. It's right there. It's an indictment. Okay? We can deal with it because we have an advocate, a lawyer. We can go into the court and we can repent and deal with that. Lord, forgive us for not executing the justice and the judgments of God on the earth. Things are going on in our nation that are going on simply because we allow it. Okay, did y'all hear about the deal in Paris? Okay. Where they went in and shot the 12, was it 12? 12 people they shot for drawing a cartoon of Muhammad. They killed them. It's in our nation. And it is the mercy of God that is hindering it from manifesting. And we have got to take our place as the sons of God. We have got to do it. Okay, the good news, we are taking our place. We are growing, we are maturing, and we're gaining authority. There is revelation and teaching in the body of Christ now that is revolutionizing the way we think. And the more we feast on it and eat on it and apply it and practice it, the more strength and authority we're gaining. And one of the things that we're learning to do is to deal with our own soul realm. It's very clear in the Old Testament that the soul realm is pictured as land that has mountains on it. And also there are gates in those mountains. And basically, before we can rule in the realm of the earth, we've got to rule our soul. And we've got to rule our own being. And how we learn to do that is we begin dealing with all of the mountains and the high places of idolatry in our life, and we learn to deal with those things. Okay? One of the primary things that we're having to learn to deal with right now is the familiar spirits. Okay, last week we talked about what is a familiar spirit. Okay, it is Old Testament word is number 174. The word is ob, O-B-E, and it means a mumbler, ventriloquist, water-skinned creature. Is basically what a familiar spirit is. We talked about its characteristics of water. It can shape and form into any wound or any area in your life. Okay, it's reflective in nature. Okay, it reflects back to you your face. And you think it's you, and it's not. You think it's your thought. You think it's your feeling. You think it's something in you when it's actually a familiar spirit. And we spend a lot of time trying to deal with a wounded emotion that's not a wounded emotion. It's a familiar spirit. Now, our emotions can be wounded. And if they are, then get healed. If it takes 20 times of prayer, do it 20 times. But there comes a point when it's healed. But there's a familiar spirit that's staying there because you've not dealt with it and gotten rid of it. And it constantly torments us. Okay? Now, what happens in that is it creates and builds a stronghold in our life. Okay? Do you know how it builds it? We agree with it. We agree with what it says to us. Okay? Romans 6:16 says, "What I obey and yield myself to, I become its slave." Okay? When we yield and obey the voice of that familiar spirit, we become its slave. Okay? And it begins to create through our agreement a stronghold. Okay? You know what a stronghold is? Okay? It's a word play. It's got a strong hold on you. Not a little strong, not a weak strong. It's got a strong hold on you. Chances are it has you by your neck. If you control the neck of something, you control it. Okay, it's also a military term. It's a fortress. Okay, I'm going to read exactly what I think it was Mr. Webster, what he said. A stronghold is a place of refuge. Now get this. It's an area dominated or occupied by a special group distinguished by a special quality. That's pretty clear. If you have a stronghold in your life, it is being filled with the strong man that's a familiar spirit in your life that is reflecting back to you what you think is you. In Proverbs 27:19, if you want another verse, this is what it says about water. As in water, face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man. That water-like spirit puts itself right in your face, and you look at it, and you think it's you. And it's so good at reflecting us, it mimics and sounds like our own voice. They're tricky creatures. And we've got to learn to discern, am I dealing with a wounded area of my life, or am I dealing with a familiar spirit? Probable both. See, we want to break it down. Chances are it's both. And we've got to get really aggressive about this. Okay, if it has become a stronghold in your life, there is a place of idolatry there. Now, what idolatry does, it actually has a quality about it that actually burns and imprints on your soul. And it literally puts an imprint in your soul when you have something as an idol. And we've got to be like Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 9, right around verse 21, where it says, "I took the calf, I burned it, and I beat it to dust and threw the dust in the brook." That's how violent we have to become with some of this stuff. Or you can keep it. Okay? Those are your options. Keep it or fight till you get free. There is no middle ground. Okay? Kings do not give up their thrones without a fight. They just don't do it. And if you think that familiar spirit that is sitting as a king in your soul is going to just, oh, okay, you want me to go? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to harass you. I'm gone. Sorry about that. Okay? They're not going to do it. Now, after we beat them for about 30 days, they might. Imagine the level of praise that was in you tonight if for 30 days you did that with direct intention toward that familiar spirit, what would happen? I believe you might get free. We're talking 30 days. 30 days. Not 16 months. Not a year and a half. Not 10 years. 30 days. Probably 21. Good measure, go 40. And that's the challenge. Because you're going to be given the key. You've already experienced the key. In worship, when we were singing, "Break every chain, he breaks every chain, he breaks every chain." If you had caught a glimpse of what you were doing, there's this thing called the rod of God that he will give you. And actually, there's a couple here that several that I think God wants to release tonight. So that you can take that rod of God and you can grab that spirit by the head, by the neck, and pale on it and just beat the crap out of it. Forgive that language. The poo-poo, whatever. Okay? We get to do that. Or we can just take it. We can take them, because that's exactly what they do to us. Okay, this past week, if your familiar spirit showed up, he pelted you over and over in your mind or in your emotions. I mean, get a visual of that. Get a visual this past week. Use your imagination gate for something positive. Imagine you've got this little peon spirit who grabs you by the neck and slaps you over and over and over and over and over. Because that's what it does. Did you get a visual yet? Slapping you over and over and over and over and over. Saying you're no good, you are no good, nobody cares about you, nobody loves you, blah, 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 blah. What did you do? The goal was just to be aware of it. Just go, whoa, like Sean in Virginia, ha, 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 that is a familiar spirit. Because once you expose it, most of its power is gone. And so tonight, we're going to get the worship team back up there. Momentarily, rest your hands. Because we're just going to just wail on that thing until we are content and happy about it. Because it is my honor to do it. To execute the judgment that is written against them. Do you realize every time when we were in worship, when someone hit their hands together, do you know what that was doing in the realm of the Spirit? Wham! Wham! Every time. Every time you jump up and down, do you know what happens? That's what happens. She took her hammer and went, chung. It's gone. Demons are dumb, but they're not that dumb. They will get out of town. They don't like that. They don't like to be tormented. Do you believe you can torment them? You want a scripture? You want another scripture? Okay? Jesus was casting them out and they said what? Don't torment us before our time. Conclusion, they can be tormented then. And Virginia said it, and it's time. Do you know when the time was? At the cross, it was written. The judgment was written. It is finished. You have been dethroned, defanged, defooted, de-everything. We execute the justice and the judgment of God against these things in our life. It's our honor, it's our privilege to do it. Okay, we're getting ready. Are you getting ready? Do you have it in your sights yet? Have you got it around the neck yet? Have you? You better get it around the neck or it's going to run off. It will run off. It'll hide. It'll tuck itself back somewhere. And it's going to wait until you're tired and you're hungry and you're having a bad day. And it's going to go, hello. You just are so stupid. You can't do anything right. And you're going to be tired and weak and in a vulnerable spot, and you're going to go, you're right. Bam, gotcha. Slap, slap, slap. Bondage. And it puts you in cuffs, and it puts you in fetters of iron and chains, and it begins to wail on you. So get it by the neck. Call it up. Summons it. Grab it by the neck. Okay, this is not make-believe. This is true, real stuff. Real stuff. This isn't play. This isn't pretend. Okay, this isn't, you know, the red guy with a hat that comes around December 25th, okay? This is real stuff. Okay, so we're going to talk, I'm going to just explain some of the components of a stronghold. Okay, because what we're not just going to hit and tear this thing. This familiar spirit. Okay, we want to demolish and destroy, pulverize to dust this stronghold. Okay, that's the objective. The objective is not to just have it shut up. That's not the objective. If that's your objective, it's just not going to work. It may give you a relief, some relief for a moment, but the objective has to be, it's kind of like, you know, with the Iraq War, there was no clear objective, and we're still there 13, 1500, 20 years later. Because there was no clear objective to beat the terrorist. That was the objective. No measurable way of doing that. And if we're not careful, that's the type of objective we have with the familiar spirit. I just want it to shut up and leave me alone. I'll be satisfied with that. Well, it's not satisfied with that with you. It has an objective with you, a very clear objective. Do you know what it is? Steal, kill, destroy. Its objective is very clear. Steal, kill, destroy. In any shape, form, or fashion, it can do that. And if yours is only to make it shut up, its objective is to steal, kill, and destroy, not to make you shut up. Okay? So within the stronghold, because we've got to pulverize this and dismantle this stuff and deal with it, begin to radically deal with it so we don't have to spend the next year, 5 years of our life dancing with this thing. Okay, the first kind of component of that stronghold is a generational iniquity. Okay, there are legal issues in the realm of the spirit that we have to deal with in the court of heaven. One of them is the generational curse and iniquities that we've inherited. Okay, and it can't get around that one. Okay, if you're sitting here, okay, and you have a body, you have to deal with this issue. Okay, you just have to do it. Because when you came as a little spirit in the womb of your mother, you were wrapped in a body that's very cells had the written record of every sin, every thought, everything your parent, all the way back to Adam, had done, written in it. Recorded and written in every cell. So when you put on that body, that record was written against you. Now, the good news is you also came with the scroll from heaven. It's written. It's in your cell. So when we deal with the generational lineage part, that's one part that has to be dealt with. Okay? Couple of ways of doing that. You got to get in the courtroom and repent as the priest of your family line and just repent and ask for cleansing and then take communion and to begin to trade on the trading floor of the cross your DNA with God's DNA. Okay, that's what the order of Melchizedek deals with. Okay, we are of that tribe. Not going to spend a lot of time right there. You can study it, though. Okay, deal with the generational thing. Now, iniquity is a bending toward certain behaviors. Okay, now I'm saying this just so I can say it and it can be out loud. Okay, I do not have a problem when I'm speaking to someone and they tell me that they were born gay. I do not have a problem with that. Do you know why? Because of that right there. No more than I have a problem with a person in New Testament who was born blind. Because see, we throw back up at people when they say that is, well, God would never do that. Well, why was the guy born blind? It's very clear, so that God would get glory when he was healed. God allowed that for him to be born blind. But the good news is, the same as that man is healed of blindness, he can be healed of that. Because it's an issue of a generational iniquity and curse. It's not God's perfect for anyone. Now I'm just saying it so I can say it out loud. Okay? I do not believe it's God's best. If you struggle with it or you have had problems with it, there is a generational issue in your lineage somewhere that's got to be dealt with. Okay? Deal with it. Just begin dealing with it. Okay? No big deal. Let's don't get under a lot of shame and condemnation about stuff. Let's deal with it. It was what we were given, what we inherited. Okay? Just deal with it in the courtroom. Second thing that we need to learn to deal with is our belief system. Because the problem is we're trying to reprogram this little mechanism right here called your brain. It's a computer. We're trying to think everything, this is the problem. Do you know this is not the problem? It just needs reprogramming. Do you know what the problem is? The heart. The heart's the problem. Scientifically, medically proven, the electrical impulses that come out of your brain goes about 6 to 9 inches. Do you know how far the impulse comes out of your heart? 6 to 9 feet. That's the mechanism that we need to deal with. It's the heart, not this brain up here. And you know what the Greek church has taught us? Just memorize scripture and everything will be fine. Oh, you got a problem here? Here's a scripture. Now, every day you say this scripture, every day. 20 years later, same issue, same scripture. Because it's not a brain issue, it's a heart issue. Okay? And guess what? You have absolutely no way of changing your heart. That is God's job. Mine is to confess my sin, turn from it, and ask him to change my heart. And in his faithfulness, he does that. Okay? Next part that we have to deal with is issues of soul ties, inner vows, judgments, and curses, word curses. All of these components make up a strong tower, a stronghold in our life. Okay, a soul tie is anything your soul is attached to that it ought not be attached to. Most of us have soul ties with our wounds. Most of us have soul ties with our belief system, ungodly belief system. And this is where you've got to allow the Lord to begin to really shine his light in those places. Inner vows. Those are vows we say to ourselves all the time. Okay? I'll never do that. I'll never do that. Or I will always do this. I will always walk with God. Better be careful saying that. Because it is by the grace of God you will walk with God. It has nothing to do with your will being exercised in any shape, form, or fashion, because your will disappoint you. Judgments. Making a judgment against yourself. Do you know the strongest bonds of captivity We create. Not the person that hurt me. See, we want to blame them. But really, they don't have the power. They can victimize you, but they can't make you a victim. You choose that. You may not choose to be victimized, but you choose to take on an identity as a victim. And when you do that, you've come into agreement, and a strong man has just taken you captive. Okay, that's how that works. Okay, you cannot judge yourself by an ungodly way of judgment. Okay? Word curses. I mean, honestly, how many times do you say curses over yourself throughout the day? I mean, really? See, things are so familiar sometimes we don't even hear them. Okay, now there is a principle in Hebrews 11. Talks about God shaped and framed the worlds by the spoken word. Do you know what that is? That's a principle. That we are in a constant state of creating our world every time we open our mouth and speak, in every ungodly thought, we are creating a world that's in opposition to God. Okay, that's real. That's not maybe. See, we think thoughts aren't powerful. You know, the little movement that came in the church. Don't make a bad confession. You could have snot running down your nose, and if you said, oh, I got a cold, they'd be, oh, don't say that, don't say that. You can think, you'd be thinking it for 24 hours. Man, I got a cold. And we think just because we don't say it, it's not going to come to pass or something. But do you know the power of your thought is just as powerful as you saying it? Because in your heart is where you're thinking those things. What did Jesus say? Think it in your heart, you've committed adultery. Have lust in your heart, you've committed adultery. Do you see the why God is very clear about what to think about? Makes it real clear. Think on these things. And he gives a list of about 9 things. It's in Philippians 4, 9-ish maybe, somewhere right around in there. Think on these things, whatsoever things are pure, honest, of good report. Because when I sit and ruminate and think on things that are ungodly, I am creating it the same as if I'm speaking it. And we've got to learn to discipline our way of thinking. Okay? There's another scripture that says, take every thought captive and bring it into obedience to Christ. Okay, that is not a suggestion. That is a command that will help you greatly if we learn to do that. That every time I think something I'm not supposed to think, that I don't pretend it's a puff of smoke. It just, oop, oh well, bummer. That we go, oh no, 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 come here. I'm arresting you. I am arresting you, and I am commanding that you put yourself into submission into obedience of Christ, and I will not, by the grace of God, allow that thought to stay in me. We've got to learn to do this stuff if we really want victory. If we really want to be free, we've got to become violent about some things. Okay? The kingdom of God suffers violence. Violence and the who? Violent ones take it by force. They take it by force. Okay, that I don't see any passivity in that at all. I really don't. There's nothing passive about that verse at all. Okay, I love worship and entering into intimacy. I love it. But sometimes we deceive ourselves and we're being lulled to sleep when we should be violent about getting free. Because sometimes when we get under that, in that worship stuff, before we have a breakthrough, do you know what happens? And when that happens, we can miss our breakthrough because we're not actively pursuing. We go into passive mode. Just let me receive. And God says, it is an honor. Will you take up that sword and wreak vengeance and execute the judgments of God on the earth, please? You're like, no, I'm just gonna receive now, Jesus. Discern what time it is for you. Is it time to receive or is it time to war? When they were rebuilding the walls in Jerusalem, they had a sword in one hand and a hammer in the other. Because see, I'm serious about this stuff. I really, 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 really want the kingdom. I really do. I want to experience it. I want to partake of it. I want to release it on the earth. And I know that there are some things hindering that. And the main thing we're talking about right now is familiar spirits. Okay? So worship team, you about ready? You ready, Teresa? You're in deep conversation. Okay, Sean talked about the parable of the sower, and I happen to have that scripture tonight. You are being given seeds to the kingdom. You're being given keys to the kingdom. Okay, now this is what will happen to the seeds. They will fall by the wayside, and the birds, the demons, will come and devour them. Some will fall on stony places, and because they don't have much earth, immediately they will spring up. That means you'll get all excited about this, and you'll do it tonight. But because there's no substance in earth and depth in you, the sun's going to come up tomorrow, bring some tribulation, and it's going to devour, and the seed's going to shrink up and die. And some are going to fall among the thorns. And the thorns are the busyness and the things of life, and they're going to choke them out, and they're going to die and not bring forth fruit. But some will fall on good soil. And they will bring forth 100-fold, 30-fold, 60-fold. Okay, the soil is your heart and what you're going to do with the seed. So you need to make a decision now. What am I going to do with this seed? Am I going to nurture this seed in the next 30 to 40 days? I'm going to wreak havoc against these familiar spirits in my life. Or am I just going to think this is a really good idea, nice message, and I'm going to go home and tomorrow I'm going to get up, look in the mirror, and complain again. About woe is me and how bad my life is. Are you going to mature, grow up, and take vengeance and receive honor from the Lord and a mantle that says, go deal with these things in your life? Because they're easily identifiable. It's not hard. Whatever has been harassing you all week, you need to engage your imagination. If you can't see in the spirit, then imagine it. And grab it by the throat. Because we're about to execute some vengeance on it. Now, if you don't want to do it, you can go. Just go. You can go. Okay? Because it won't bother me a bit. Because I'm about to beat this thing happy. Because I'm gonna be happy about it. Because for 2 weeks, this thing has been, they have been in my brain, wailing me just all day long. And I would do, Lord Jesus, please help me. Please help me. Virginia came over and she goes, man, I can see it all over you. I'd be like, ah. So finally I just started stomping around my living room. My little libbity living room. I thought, I've had it. And I just went into Thai tongues mode. You ever do that? Where you just go into warfare tongues, where you use mana mashanda kayata, ibo domo sangaila. And you just get riled up about it. Now, what dumb demon is going to hang around for that? Really? Okay, let's do it. We're going to break every stinking chain. Is Christian?